Thank you.
She gets more respect than you do.
So trust me, I do that. I'm yelling.
Maybe
you're
more
than
that.
I like
you.
I yell and talking over
you.
Like, yeah.
Call the meeting
in
order of the
community
services committee meeting. Tuesday, October 24th, 24th of May. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes from the meeting of April 26th are adopted. We'll move on to, attendance. Oh, thank you. In attendance, we have President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Smiley, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier, and Penrose Hollins, and taking the minutes is my aide, Nikai Trilla. Now we'll move on to the third item on the agenda, which is the IDEA program report. I guess that's going to be done by the general manager.
It'll be a team effort.
Okay.
I just wanted to open up by saying the IDEA program grew out of a city-county initiative when we went to Harvard's vacant property strategy meeting and training we had. I guess it was 2 years ago. One of the number one strategies that they recommended for everyone, and specifically for Delaware, was, and they said this is a successful model everywhere in reducing vacancy and foreclosure, is to have an aggressive home ownership assistance program and targeted census tracts. And that's exactly what we did in creating the IDEA program, and you'll hear a little bit more about that from Norman. But we've had a very successful program, and a key person involved, Carrie Casey, I just wanted to mention this is a little off topic, but she actually won a housing award, an ambassador award, very prestigious last week from
Maryland.
And with that, I'll turn it over to Norman Spector to do the presentation.
Thank you. Number one, I want to thank Council for approving the allocation for this program. It was a great program. It was one of the most successful programs I've ever seen. We went through the allocation in 6 months. What was the IDEA program? It's a home buyer program created to provide down payment and settlement assistant loans. It was to stimulate sales and identify areas throughout Newcastle County. It's parts of Christiana, Claymont, Newark, Newport, and Newcastle. How are the areas identified? Basically, it was Delaware State Housing Authority, housing needs and assessments 2015-2020 market value analysis. The market value analysis identifies housing market conditions by census tract. Newcastle County chose the markets reflecting instability and areas in distress. IDEA program. What it did was it provided up to $5,000 in a loan. It was at 0% interest. It was a 10-year loan in two segments. The first year, it was deferred. Because you're first getting into your house, you have all that first-time payment, we decided to defer it for one first year. And then 9 years after that, 108 monthly payments, which came to about $46.30 a month, so which was affordable. You do not have to be a first-time home buyer. We kind of recognized that people were losing houses left and right. They wanted to get back on their feet. This gave them the flexibility to go into it. You must occupy the property, and we went with FHA's selling price of $379,500. The property must be inspected by a certified home inspector. We did that because we wanted an educated buyer going into that house knowing exactly what they're going to face. Income qualifying. What was great about this program was we did 120% median income. You can see a family of four, $96,360 was your maximum income, which was a great opportunity for a lot of people. We hit a lot of people with 120%. Also, we required housing counseling. Again, education was a primary objective for Newcastle County. Prior to any kind of closing, all buyers must be certified as having a completed homeowner education program for the Newcastle County recognized HUD-approved housing counseling agency. When they got there, they got at least 6 hours of housing counseling, and then they got a one-on-one. That's when the application was actually taken by the housing counselor. So they got educated on what the process was. Not only that, is what they were going to get into while the application was being taken. Additional incident. An IDEA home buyer may combine other Newcastle County loan programs that are all available if qualified. And that was just not Newcastle County programs. We found that Meridian Bank had a great program. It was called First Front Door. And it was through Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh. We partnered a great deal with Meridian Bank, where they would give a grant of $5,000, and whatever they needed elsewise, they would use IDEA program to compensate for the rest of the closing costs. So that's why we were able to do 51 loans rather than just the 47 that was allocated, because not everybody used the whole $5,000. We have two programs. We have the DPS program and the IDEA program, down payment settlement. Both have the $379,000. The difference is, with the DPS program, you have to be a first-time home buyer. We use 80% median income, and it's 3% interest, first year, 3 years deferred, with a 5-year payout. So your payment with the DPS is a lot higher. It's about $97, $98 a month. So that's why this IDEA program was so important and so needed with people going into their first home, especially first-time home buyers, where that $46.30 was more important than that $98 a month payment elsewhere. These, on our website, on Newcastle County's Community Services website, on home buyers, we had the identified census tracts with communities. So it wasn't just census tracts means nothing to anybody. They don't know what a census tract is. So we went and identified all the neighborhoods we could in those census tracts. So we're trying to, and I have a map showing where the census tracts are and what communities were, and I actually listed the 51 the houses where they were in the community. So I have a large one, I have a small table model. So, and there's the other areas we hit. It was a great program. We hit a lot of areas, not to be confused with what we have with the Strong Neighborhoods program that is just in the Route 9 corridor. This covers all of Newcastle County, the IDEA program. So that's really important that it was just in all, how many was it, 20 census tracts? 20 census tracts that we were able to hit.
Your question?
Yes, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Councilman
Smiley? I'm sorry, I have to wait on the chair. You have no authority. I just wanted to comment. I see them up there. I'm surprised that we included condos because they only end up owning within the walls. So I just wanted to make a note that it was up there. That's all.
But the enhancing general manager is still considered home ownership officer.
Yeah, no,
but it's still a deed of property.
Right.
And that maintenance fee that they have to be charged is counted in their debt ratio. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the monthly payment.
No, I'm not speaking against. I was just surprised to see it given the issues that come up with that. So,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You were there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. IDEA home buyer, but these are some stats that we came up with. In home buyer program results, 51 loans settled between December 15th is when we launched it, to April 30th is when we ran out of funds. It was a popular loan program, 0% interest, income limits higher than our DPS program. It's a long-term payout rather than 5 years, it was 9 years. And underwriting was really favorable. And the reason why we went to a one-year deferment rather than a three-year deferment, years ago, underwriting, still today, did not count any debt that was 3 years beyond. Okay, so if you had a second mortgage and you went 3 years deferred, they didn't count that payment in your debt to income because they figured you were going to get raises, you're going to get cost of living increases. That's gone away. We all know that's not happening now. That's why we went the 1 year deferred. Now they count that $46.30 in your monthly payment. So you know exactly as a home buyer what your monthly expenses are going to be. So it was a great program. And underwriting loved it because they were able to count that payment. They approved, they loved it, all banks loved it. Okay, IDEA home buyer results. This is interesting. 80% of our loans were first-time home buyers. Income information, 7 loans were 50% median income or below. That's huge, because we're allowed to go. I thought it was all going to be those who couldn't qualify for 80% DPS that they were going to go this way. No, it was actually low-income housing actually went into this too. 21 of those, the household at 80% medium income or lower. 23 loans were 120% AMI, which were medium income. 42 loans went to minority households. 24 loans went to female head of households. Impressive. I mean, you guys use these stats because it's really unbelievable.
So,
go ahead.
You're not allowed.
Councilor,
I can't believe you're in with all those ladies. You don't know your place yet.
I'm learning fast.
No, I'm just giving the math. I'm just taking the assumption that the 24 to female heads of households, some of those are also in the minority heads.
Absolutely.
Of
absolutely.
Right. I just want to make sure my math was going right. Okay.
Good question. Yep, that's it. You have a map there. You can share. I'm going to leave both maps here for you. Take them with you on your outings, wherever you go, your communities, showing that this is an impressive group. This is a happy new homeowner that's selling it. She bought one of the houses with money. The guy in the middle, good looking guy, that's me. And the attorney is on the other end. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
President Bullock.
I know the lady in that photo, she's a member of my congregation. And she is so elated and pleased with this program. And just want you to know how much excitement and joy and fulfillment has come because of this.
Thank you for the compliment.
Thank you.
Well, does that mean you dropped the tide to 5%?
No, she's still at 10.
Oh, okay.
I think that's my presentation. Thank you again so much.
To me, it's like the only Todd I knew was a lawyer.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Councilwoman Diller.
How much money did you have to lend to begin with?
Okay, actually it was $230,000. We had $500,000 was granted. Half went to a rehab program, and half went to me, and $20,000 went. We have to pay the counselors for their counseling, and $20,000 went to administration for that type of thing.
Carrie Casey with the department. We have half the money, as Norm said, went to the home repair program, IDEA Home Repair, which, you know, we have five loans under, those are $20,000 fix it. We have five underway, 42 letters have gone out. So that money, it's just because it's a longer process with rehab, it takes a little bit longer. But half was sort of this multifaceted way of looking at it, home buyer, and then also for the people that actually live as homeowners in those communities, we could help them with home repair items.
With the IDEA program, we close loans between 20 and 30 days. We try to get them out in that short time. So we're not the holdup. We don't want the county being the holdup.
Right.
So.
One of the points that I wanted to make to my colleagues here on County Council is that the far-reaching opportunities with the IDEA program, because I know a couple of council members had mentioned concern about where we are spending our resources, and I think this is an example of how we're trying to go to much broader areas where there's a need. And just last week I was part of a new group that's being developed in community services, headed up by the general manager, where we are putting together this group. We're going to meet quarterly, I believe, to address vacant properties. We have people there from law, from the land use department, and I think this is a nice group of folk to start looking at ways to address the zombie issue that we've been hearing something about here lately. And I was at the conference last week. It was the Delaware members of the National Association of Home Builders and Rehabilitation, whatever.
Officials.
And Carrie Casey was given that award, and everyone there, I mean, folk, not just people from Newcastle County, even though we were well represented at this conference, but folk who have the respect for Carrie. I thought it was a high honor because noticed some of the people that had received this reward before, so it wasn't a small thing that Carrie Casey achieved at this conference. It was But she was so modest and everything else. And
she's turning red.
I had to call her out, but it was a very high honor for you, Carrie. So I appreciate your work and the fact that all the other colleagues recognize the work that you do. So congratulations
Thank
again.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Councilmember Hollins, if I could just add one last thing. In.
Sure.
We didn't put this on the slide, but a pitch for council wants to allocate additional funding so we can continue the IDEA program, we'd be more than happy to help.
Councilmember Diller?
I was just curious, and I'm thinking beyond council at this point. Did you have banks that expressed any interest in supporting such a program?
We'll be, as a part of the committee's working group, and Susan Moore from your office was there, Sophia Hansen, General Manager, Community Services. What we're trying to do is come up with a list of tactics of what we're going to do, and one of the strategies is bringing the banks in for a meeting. We are now working on the minutes and trying to figure out, flushing out ideas, so things that people mentioned at the meeting that were won't end up on our task sheet, so we're still flushing all of that out. But meeting with the bank is certainly at the top of our list as a strategy. And they've been very positive in helping us with strategies of properties here and there. But we're looking for a more holistic type of approach in how we work with them.
Thank you.
Councilman Cartier.
Just to go, you know, continue the discussion on vacant properties, I can tell you the last couple of years, when I go into communities and civic meetings and various meetings, the vacant property problem is the number one issue that people are complaining about.
Yeah.
And it's like in some communities, it's kind of a crisis thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So we really need to address it.
And one of our strategies is to expand the idea to have a separate pot for anyone who takes a vacant property.
Yes.
And because the only way we're going to reduce the number that they have in the county is to develop a strategy. When you have no strategy, they'll just the number will continue to go up. And the head of L&I, Jeff Starkey, would always refer to it as a cancer, and it'll just keep spreading unless you come up with a real treatment. And the best idea that we have so far is home ownership in targeted census tracts to get people in those areas, and then assistance to buy a vacant home and take ownership of.
Councilman Smalley.
Yeah, I would just, and I'm sure you've probably already thought about it, but I'm going to make myself feel like I know what I'm talking about. When you're talking about inviting the banks in, that good part of the pre-research would be get the ones that hold the most of those vacant properties.
And
drag them in, because they need to know, you know, we want you to partner with this program, because you're part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A big part of the problem.
Yeah. And we know who they are. So that was, we did identify those banks, and that's part of what we're trying to do, because there's some legal challenges that we have.
Absolutely.
So that's why people from law was at this meeting as well, to try to find a way around it. But it's a lot of good work going on to address that.
Okay.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just back to the vacant homes, do those vacant homes to be in the program have to be in this census tract, these census tracts?
Sophia Hansen, General Manager, Community Services. Those are census tracts identified through the market value analysis, so that relates to where the vacant properties are and the foreclosure. But we could certainly consider doing it without the census tracts and just anywhere there's a vacant property, because we wanted to hit any area that we want everybody to have that opportunity, unless there was pushback that people wanted it to model it exactly after that area. And would the city be included in that case? That would be the other problem. If you opened it up, would we consider that be something to consider? Would the city be included separately or not?
Well, we'd have to have that discussion, but
if it's all Newcastle County
okay. money, you know, would it stay in Newcastle County? But the city is also in Newcastle County, so that's that, question that never quite gets answered. But I mean, I think all of us have vacant properties, no matter what the price point of the community, that we're all looking at doing something. I mean, I met with law last week, and just the confusion where you get a foreclosure letter from the bank, you assume then that you have to move out, and that isn't the case. And the deed never really changes hands.
Right. Yeah.
And I have one where I know that the bank went to court and kept putting it off, and ultimately
the whole foreclosure was just canceled, but the people are gone and the house is just in shambles. So, you know, I keep thinking there's got to be a way to make people get these on the market and make the banks work with these people to try to sell the houses. I mean, we have so many sitting here that had a market value and basically have none now because they're so destroyed.
And so one of the issues we identified at the meeting was exactly that, and that's a state issue. So we thought, who best to bring in? We said, we'll speak with someone from the state. And I mentioned the Attorney General's office. Then we go to the NARO conference the very next day, and I'm sitting next to Matt Littner, and that's the right person. Does the state bring a lawsuit? Do they write legislation? But it's a state-level decision, so we've decided to include them in our working group.
Okay, good.
Now, that was a large part of the discussion, and the general manager of land use really drove that home because he's very frustrated and very aware of the property in your district, as a matter of fact.
Well, I have many in my district. I mean, that one that I complained, that was just so egregious because you've taken a $600,000 house and taken the value down to zero, but that, you know,
I might be your neighbor.
It's not my neighborhood.
Zero.
My neighbor that had the problem worked with the bank and they actually went to short sale, which is what I think should be happening, right, where we're doing something at the front end rather than letting the houses deteriorate.
Well, Sophia Hansen, general manager, one of their ideas is outreach and education. So we have probably 20 ideas of what we want to work on. So the next meeting, we'll look at which ones are the best, what are our strategies, which ones need legislative action, how do we make that happen quickly, which ones need funding, how do we get that, the education piece, who's best to provide that, and how do we get it to the right people at the right time.
Right.
That's our struggle. Like, we want to make sure we're doing everything so that it's effective, but that's on our target list.
Can I just ask if Cyril Poppity is on this group?
He's not a part of the original group, but now that we've identified the issue of reaching out to those people, that'll be the next
because
step.
Many of these are people where, you know, the grandparents died, there's one heir, the heir doesn't live here, they don't care, and it just sits, they pay the taxes, but it just sits.
Right.
So he seems to, I know that he just talked to one community that I have that has this problem, and they were very, very happy with his path forward. So he probably would be a good person, I would think, to include him, something like this.
We do have someone from the sheriff's office there, and so I think that the fact that this is such a problem, it has everybody's attention. The county exec wanted to move forward, then we were advised that it's probably a state initiative, so that's why we're going the route we are. But that is really one of the biggest drivers for this, is the fact that we do have this whole zombie issue, and that's part of the discussion we're going to have with these banks that we've identified that really are the culprits in most of these cases.
Yeah.
Even though they may give us a home every now and then, I think we got one from Wells Fargo a month ago.
Right, that's one out of
100, right.
Out of 800 or something.
Most of them, there are three banks that owns most of these homes. So we've identified them, we know who owns them, most of them. So a lot of work has been done, and now we're on the path to go forward to try to come up with some. And your ideas are some of the same things that we talked about around the table last week.
Because I think the number I was given was that there are 1,100 vacant homes in this county that we're dealing with at this point.
That they can identify.
For a variety of reasons.
And some of them have people that have moved into them. The family,
squatters.
Squatters,
yeah,
exactly.
Not
right.
So real people that owned it and rented or anything legal. Yeah.
Councilman Smiley.
A lot of it still just amazes me. I don't understand where the bank's heads are. I mean, I have a constituent who has relocated. He had a townhouse down in Bear. He took ill. They fell on some hard times. They put the house on the market. They tried to redo the loan. They wouldn't redo the loan. The bank would take no action against them, so they weren't getting to the mediation process. So they found a buyer, and they needed to work something out. The bank wouldn't even work with them. They spent 8 months, finally lost the buyer. So the attorney recommended to them, quit paying your mortgage, stash your money. So they did that. This whole process took 2 years. And then what they did was, the townhouse was in one person's name, one part of the couple. So they took the cash, and they put it down, and they bought another house. And then notified the mortgage holder, we're moving out. So there's now a vacant property
in a nice community. But they had no choice. So they got themselves another. But the bank just refused. I mean, they had someone ready to move in, take the house, assume the mortgage, and the bank would not work for
them. And that's what the Attorney General's office has been doing, is working with the banks on with the mediation of people who are in homes, because that's our ultimate goal. And that's something we're going to have to get really good at, is how do we keep people in their homes? We don't have somebody in New Castle County that does that. Do we need, who do we contract to? How do we make it happen? Is that our responsibility, or is it the state's? But if, you know, if we want to see a reduction in vacancies, we've got to keep people like this from even coming into the system. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to, you know, so it's a huge outreach and holding the state and the banks accountable for this mediation process to make sure it happens.
I mean, I understand what the mediation process, but here's a flaw in the whole process, because the bank was taking no action. They just wouldn't work with them.
Right, but that's
it.
The Attorney General's office to make sure that they do.
Right.
So these things need to be, and that's why we're going to have them there. We've got to close these gaps.
Because,
where
I mean, they kept
they
the mortgage payments. They kept
them.
The mortgage payments up. They were keeping, you know, to keep your credit good. And they just, like, they didn't care whether it went vacant or not. It's like, we got six more in the community. One more is not going to matter.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
But if you read the zombie title article, I mean, then you start realizing that you, as the property owner, really still hold that title,
right,
and that
right.
can come back to bite you, because it, as one of them in my neighborhood, and I think we talked about this last time, where the bank told them they couldn't go on the property, they didn't know that they still didn't hold the title. We, as New Castle County, were citing them for grass and shrubs and all of that. The bank wouldn't let them go on the property to fix it, but the bank didn't go on the property to fix it either. So you know, the bank is kind of the key here to, they either have to get into it here and figure out how they're going to move this along, or we need to make sure that people don't just abandon their houses because they got a foreclosure notice,
right.
and that they do keep them up.
Right.
Not an easy one.
No.
But
it's going to be an uphill battle. But
I know, but I would venture to say that there is not one council person sitting here that does not have the same issues throughout their districts.
Look out my front door. I can see five.
Any additional comments or questions? Councilman Cartier?
I think there's not a week goes by I don't discover more vacant properties. I go in these community meetings and, you know, there's more. So it's a real tough issue, but I can tell you that I think I was intrigued by the idea that a bank would donate a house, because I think it works for them financially to do that. They can take the value, keep it on their books, get a write-off, donate it, and it's all. And then we handle that. Okay. So it encouraged them to donate more properties and
but
be real aggressive about it.
Well, and it becomes, right, how many can we handle? And that's why we're going to meet ahead of schedule, like before they just start, you know, and how much money do we need to for rehab dollars? Because when they donate properties, oftentimes we get some money, and it's usually negotiated for the rehab cost. And then what other funds do we have if there's a gap in there, but to still allow us to get it back into production? And but again, if we get these ideas, and we get some funding for the different initiatives, and I think that, you know, we could really see a significant decrease in the number of vacant properties in the county. But it's going to take work, and it's going to take a lot of attention to the issue. And that's why we brought everybody together, for everyone to do their parts collectively.
Ambassador?
Carrie Casey with the department. I was just going to say, the Wells Fargo home donation program, it sounds great. The three houses that they donated to us, one is a condo that no one pays any association fees, so we can't get a mortgage for it. One is a burned out shell, and another one is, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if we're challenged, we will go to Wells Fargo, we'll say, you have any houses. They're giving us, like, basically houses that, and we'll take them. We'll never say no to that. But we're challenged, as Sophia said, with trying to come up with the money to actually do something with the house. We have a house in Rosegate. I mean, we're doing all we can, but, you know, they need to, you know, the dribs and drabs that they're giving us are, like, basically things that they wouldn't even, like, blink an eye at. They want to get rid of because it doesn't do them any. No one's going to want it but us. So they need
to. Yeah, they're giving us the junk.
Yeah, the crap.
Basically.
The bottom.
Well, we'll have one other item, if we may move on to sports and athletics report.
Great.
pass those to you, Jim. Councilman Patrick. Yep.
Everyone, I'm Jane Rattani. I'm Community Service Manager for the Division of Community Services and Community Resources Division. And thank you so much for allowing us and giving us the opportunity to review the programs and services provided by the sports section of the department. The sports and athletics section, which falls under the Division of Community Resources, last year served roughly 11,600 participants in our many programs. We supervised over 7,650 games and sessions and saw a total participation of 141,000 persons through our programs. These programs include adult sports leagues and tournaments, youth and high school sports camps, clinics and leagues, full and half-day recreation camps, and youth programs, special programs at Bob Jones, Garfield Park Powell, and Rose Hill. The managing of these programs is done by very small but very professional and efficient team. And actually three full-time employees manage the 141,000 total participation last year. And the office is supervised by Andy Biro, the sports administrator, who cannot be with us today, but it also includes Chuck Britton, who is here, recreation supervisor, and Heather Mergenthaler, the community services coordinator for our programs. Over 8,155 adults participated in 4,000 games in our adult sports leagues. As you can see, we had a total participation of over 100,000 adults playing basketball, field hockey, flag football, and we use a variety of facilities and fields throughout the county. Corporate customers utilize our adult sports programs for wellness as well as team building opportunities. And as you can see, we have participation by banks, unions, small businesses, and who have, some of which have been with us for the 30 plus years that we've been doing our programming. We also have a growing senior sports program. As you can see, we serve over 280 players ages 50 and older last year. Currently, our oldest player is 83 years old, and he plays softball through a league about four times a week. We also have an extremely successful youth sports program with over 1,800 youth participating in a variety of sports. 286 teams played 784 games in basketball, field hockey, and soccer. A few program highlights I'd like to talk with you about. We have Rose Hill Youth Basketball and the Irving Youth Hispanic Soccer Leagues. A few years ago, we partnered with Rose Hill Community Center and the Boys and Girls Club there, and we regularly through the summer orchestrate 8 teams playing during the summer months with volunteer coaches and officials. The sports office provides then the oversight and coordination. The Urban Youth Hispanic Soccer League is a partnership with Newcastle County and Kirkwood Soccer Club. 528 Hispanic youth play during the winter months at the Garfield Park PAL. These were the kids from last year's championship at Rose Hill. As you can see by the list, 32 local high schools enrolled 78 school teams in our county sports leagues last year. The off-season play provides for conditioning and team building among the sports. We also offer affordable youth sports camps and clinics for beginning to intermediate level athletes during the summer and the winter seasons. Last year, almost 360 youth participated in full or half-day sports. We do waive fees for children who have parents who are unemployed and have proof of unemployment, and we also enroll PAL youth from Garfield, Delaware City, and Hokesson for free in our programs. A few months ago, we gave a pretty extensive overview on our youth programs to this committee, but I did want to recognize that the sports section oversees the summer recreation camp program that offers full and half-day camp. These camps are affordable and geographically located to be accessible for families who need daycare for their children during the summer months so that they can work. Overall, last year, we served 587 children ages 5 to 12 and provided 129 families with financial aid to attend camp. We're also very proud. Heather's work worked diligently. Last year, the county full-day camps were certified as purchase of care sites, which expands our ability to offer affordable daycare for families who need it throughout the county. This is one of our camps are utilizing the Surratt Pool in Dunleith for swimming in the summers. The division also continues to administer the Ab Jones After School Program at Absalom Jones Community Center for the youth in the Belvedere and surrounding communities. Last fiscal year, we offered homework help and recreation programming to 116 unduplicated youth in the area, and they attend the program during the school year, the 9 months of the school year. We now have a computer lab set up in the building. We have 10 desktop computers for homework help, and the children use the lab in the afternoon after school, and then during the day the senior center uses the lab for computer training and doing email and other uses. I also wanted to mention that the sports section coordinated two special programs last year. The Garfield Park basketball drop-in program was coordinated with the Garfield Park PAL and the sports section. Approximately 25 to 30 youth regularly came to play basketball at the PAL on the weekends. The Prevention Works program was a partnership between the Newcastle Prevention Coalition, Kirkwood Soccer Club, and the sports section. 95 youth received alcohol prevention and awareness programming and education along with soccer instruction. They attended 2 days. It was a grant-funded program through the Prevention Coalition, and the children attended 2 days a week. They received 30 minutes of the prevention education and then 2 hours of the soccer instruction. Also wanted just, this last slide shows you the many organizations that provide support to our programs because as you all know, we can't do it alone and we rely extensively on cooperative relationships, and so these are a list of those that participate in our programs. So with that, if there are any questions?
Comments, questions, members of council? Seeing none, any comments, questions, members of the public? Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you.
Is there anything any council member would like to add under other?
I just want to say, and some of the people in the room will understand this, others of you will shake your heads, but I think both presentations were very good. I was just a little distracted by the doors being open behind the screen.
Doors being open behind the screen.
We get it.
I don't.
It's okay.
Jeannie got in here and opened the doors and was very proud that she had gotten that much done, but Mr. Boyle didn't want to use that screen.
Oh, okay. Anything else under other?
Okay.
Any comment from the public? Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Please.
I'd like to be partying.
This was a guy that
used to be here.